You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
We're not of this world. We've got to have that sense that we are passing through. And it's interesting, we talk about this midweek as well. We have a final destination. And Paul says those wonderful words, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. Yeah, right, Darren. Easier said than done. Yeah, do not be anxious about anything. But to help us not be anxious and not to worry about things, Paul gives us some really simple and some clear instructions. The trouble with our human nature is, though, that we're either fearful of going to God with everything, so we actually only approach God with the big stuff, but we actually say, well, that little bit, I don't want to pester God with that. I can manage that bit on my own. But Paul says, we're to be instructed here, do not be anxious about anything. And this is where we start to knit our messages together today, because with God, I want to say anything's possible. So do not be anxious about anything. Anything's possible. Well, what is possible? Well, we can bring anything and everything to God. Everything to God. And I just want you to remember that this morning, because sometimes we go, it's only the big stuff. I can bring everything to God, and God is interested in everything. He's in everything about us. For those that have been parents, you know, and your kids come back from school and you go, what have you done today? Bearing in mind, when kids are little, you grab hold of it, you've looked after this kid, you've done everything for it, you know every heartbeat and breath about them. And then they go off to school and you don't know anything that's happened in their day, and you go, what's happened? And they went, nothing. And you kind of go, yeah, but something must have happened. And slowly it starts leaking out throughout the evening, and you find out what's happened. You know, we're interested as parents, and God is interested in us. When we go to him with everything, yes, you're not going to tell him any surprises, but I think God loves to say, oh, you bring everything to me. What a wonderful relationship that is. So how do we approach God? What does it say? Go back and have a look in halfway through verse 6. What does it say? We go by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, with thankfulness. Thankfulness for the past. God, thank you for how you've sustained me in the past. But also we can go to God with thankfulness for the future. I know you are a God who keeps his promise, so therefore I can be thankful in those things as well. God is a God who keeps his promises. And when we pray with that thankfulness, that's where I believe the fruit comes. Just dive into verse 7 for a moment, because what is the fruit of going to God who wants to know everything about us and says, do not be anxious? What do we get in exchange? Well, what do we get in exchange? He promises to give us his peace. Anybody want a bit of peace this morning? Yeah, a little bit of peace. It gives us this peace. And this is not the peace that the world offers. This is a peace which is beyond our understanding. It's beyond anything we'll understand, and it will protect us both physically and mentally. Now, I'm not preaching a health and wealth gospel here. Don't think that's what I'm saying. What I'm actually speaking about is a different perspective, and probably you and I are all wired a certain way. I just wanted to share a video. Jasmine sends me all these little videos, these Christian meme things or whatever else they are. And actually, do you want to turn the sound up? Because I think this is quite quiet, this little video. I thought this illustrated something perfectly. And when she sends me, she goes, I bet you use it in church, this one, Dad. And actually, this week, I thought, this is really good. I want you to see how your perspective should change this morning. Hopefully, you can hear this. Oh, there we go. Oh.
This candle is you, and you are the light of the world. And the world is always going to try to put out your light. But we are not of this world. And if we try to fit in...
Amen.
Should I play it again? Did you catch it? I love this. Ready?
This candle is you, and you are the light of the world. And the world is always going to try to put out your light. But we are not of this world. And if we try to fit in...
Amen.
I love the amen at the end. We're not of this world a different perspective. As he filled it up initially, did you think, oh, I was going to put the light out? Were you surprised when it didn't? You know, but we're not of this world. We're different. We're set apart. And actually, if we try and fit into this world, that's why I thought it was a lovely illustration, it can put our light out. So why is that so important with the message today? I think because when we understand as Christians, we live differently in the world. And when we pray God's word back to him, he's faithful and just to do what he has promised. The fruit of his assurance is that he will guard our hearts from wrong feelings, it says at the end. Where is it? I've lost my end of verse 7, isn't it? The peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He'll guard our hearts from feeling the wrong stuff. He will guard our minds from thinking the wrong stuff. And we can see the world around us, particularly at the moment, it can think all sorts of things. Even if advice is given, well, we know we'll go and think something else. What's the toilet roll buying all about? I mean, who knows? Look at what the world will do on its own. And we need to know that we are different. We're set apart. We're not of this world. I will share that video later if you want to go and grab that one and send it to somebody else. But not to be morbid. You know, we're set apart and we're different. And midweek, I think we were praying, and this verse came up for me midweek as well. And it says this, it's in Romans 14:8, and it says, if we live for the Lord. And if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to God. Now, do you know that to be true? Is that something you can say, I believe to? Because it should be our encouragement this morning from Paul, who encourages, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything, because with God, anything's possible. And I want us to kind of grab hold of that, because it doesn't rely on us. If it relies upon you and me, then it's only as possible as I am able. And therefore, of course, I will be anxious because I know what I'm capable of or what I'm not capable of. But if it relies upon God and I go to God and it's his kingdom come and his will be done, anything's possible. And I don't worry about that. Well, I would only worry about it if I didn't think God was able. But if God is able, well, then let's not be anxious. And to overcome our worries, there's something that we need to learn. And Paul speaks about this. There's something we need to learn. If you dive forward into verse 11 and verse 12, you will see twice Paul mentions that he had to learn something. So this is not something that just comes naturally. You didn't wake up one morning and go, oh, I know all this stuff now. Some of this we have to learn. And Paul says he has learnt something. So hopefully you're here today to learn something too. And if you are, you're in good company. We're with Paul. And what is it that Paul has learned? Well, it says in verse 11, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Who can say that wholeheartedly? Come on, we should though, shouldn't we? Come on, Ray. I believe you do. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. That means sometimes it's really rock hard, like painfully eye-watering, gut-wrenchingly hard, but I've learned to be content. This is what Paul has learned. So he's been through the pain and he's been through the sorrow. He's been through all of this stuff. It's not like he's immune to it, but he says, in those circumstances, I've learned to be content. And right in the middle of verse 12 as well, he says, I've learned the secret of being content in every situation. So you're saying, what's the secret then, Darren? Yeah? What is the secret? What's the secret, boy? If there's a secret to being content, we want to know, and we want to know right now. And this is where the key verse of our message comes in today. I'm heading through to verse 13. But before that, he talks about Paul saying, well, in all these things, whether I'm well fed or whether I'm hungry, whether I'm living in plenty or in want, we can probably add to that, whether I'm anxious or gripped by fear, whether I'm worried about viruses or my health, whether I'm worried about my job or my money, whether I'm worried about my family and friends, whether I'm worried about whatever it is, you fill in the blank. What is it that you're worried about? Over all those things, Paul says he's learnt, and he's learnt to be an overcomer. And he says in verse 13, I've learnt to overcome. I can do all these things through him who gives me strength. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And we need to be careful with this verse, because a lot of people will misquote this verse. And I'm being very clear on this morning. This is not about saying, well, I'm going to go and buy a lottery ticket after church today then, Darren. Christ is with me. I can do all things. I'm going to win the lottery. This is not what this is about. It's not about making you the top sports person or TV personality or whatever it is. It's not necessarily even about speaking about the best thing that you desire. But if we went back to the video, that video we looked at a minute ago, there is a sense that all the things that he, if you can take the water that he poured into the jar, in a sense, that's all the things of this world. They can promise you so much, but they could actually put your light out. And Paul's not talking about the things of this world that can make him content. He's talking about kingdom things, things that are not of this world. And we spoke about this a little bit last week, the things that our inheritance is. What is our inheritance from God? And this is really where we're going to kind of just unpack this just a little bit more this morning. Paul actually mentions in that key phrase at the end of verse 7, there's that word, that little phrase, in Christ, again, that we looked at last week. And if I was to stretch that little video example a minute ago, if we are not in the glass, in the world, then we live somewhere else. And for the Christian, that means we are in Christ. We're either in the world or we're in Christ. And a little bit of recap from last week, I've put it in your notice sheets this week. So if you've got your notice sheets there, you'll see a picture in there. And this is what I just wanted to understand. I was having a conversation with someone before the service this morning saying, well, what does that mean about being a vessel and Christ being in us? And actually what we looked at, I don't know if you remember right at the end of last week, that kind of in Christ thing where I had that glass of water. And actually I could have quite easily taken that glass of water and filled the little glass of water up and said, Christ is in me. But actually, we drop the little glass into the big glass of water, and actually, I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me all at the same time. There's not just that little bit of have I got enough, have I received enough. When we're in Christ, we're completely in Christ, and something changes within us. And this was an illustration that I put up last week that I nabbed from somebody else. But the point was this, we are a body. We have a soul, and you'll see this in your notice sheets. We have emotions, we have a mind, we have a will, we have imagination within our soul, and then we have our spirit. That's how we are made up, body, soul, and spirit. And the thing is, when God comes into us, when Christ becomes in us, us in Christ, our spirit joins with his spirit. That's it. In us, Christ in us, us in Christ, something dramatically changes. When my spirit connects with God's spirit, something amazing happens. We become one. And out of that, rather than saying I cannot do, my sense was is that anything is possible. Anything becomes possible. Because if God is God of the impossible things and he dwells in me, then anything is possible. And I wanted us to catch that again this morning. You know, anything is possible when Christ is in us. And we are conditioned to believe, well, I cannot do that. I know what I'm capable of. And maybe someone's spoken some hurtful things over you and said, you will never. But Christ is in you. And anything is possible. If Christ, the creator of the universe, can do all things and his spirit dwells with my spirit, anything is possible. Do not be limited by the things of the past when someone says you cannot. Be careful what you say to yourself. I can't do that. Well, I don't know. In Christ, anything's possible. So to apply this to the message this week, I believe the secret that Paul is saying to us is what we find, that one word at the end of verse 13, which is strength. We can accomplish anything, because all the things that God gives us, he will give us the strength. All the things that come before us, God will give us the strength to endure it. And I think those are the examples that he gives. So whether we have a little or a lot, whether we're rich or poor, the secret is the strength that God gives us. And as a result, the strength of this God-given power at work in us is that we get God's peace. Does that make sense? So whether I'm rich and I'm struggling with something, whether I'm poor and I'm struggling, God will give me strength to overcome or to work through those situations. And as a result of that strength, the thing that I get when I endure those things, or whatever they might be, is his peace. Now, that's a lot of P's in there: his power, his peace, his perspective. There's lots of things that we could actually take away from this today. And actually, I want us just to grasp those three things, because I want us to get the right perspective, especially on material things, which is kind of where Paul was talking. I don't know if you can remember right back to the 1 Timothy series that we did last year, but right at the end, there is the call for contentment again. And it's quite interesting, if you look at being content, where that weaves its way through the Bible. In 1 Timothy 6:6-8, it says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we've brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." Will we? Plus a Ferrari and a mansion and an Xbox. And a what? And toilet rolls. Mustn't forget the toilet rolls. I'm going to leave all that there. All my mind did 1,000 things. The things we've seen this week. But we should be content. What is it? And this is not just contentment with what we have, but a godliness contentment. Do you know that godliness contentment? And that was part of my faith testimony. I've shared my testimony with you a number of times before. That testimony when I came to faith. Because actually, I was a young man. I didn't know the Lord. The world offered me so much. I worked really hard to get to where I needed to get to. I was still prepared to work really hard. And I wanted all this stuff. I thought that's what made you successful in the world. And I wanted more and more stuff. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with stuff, but actually that was my goal and that was my aim. And actually in that moment where the guy was preaching about all the things that you want in life, and he said to me, it will just turn to dust one day, even the people that you love, I suddenly realized I could be spending my whole life pursuing dust. It might be posh dust in the shape of a Ferrari or whatever it is, but it's still dust. And I could have spent my whole life pursuing dust. Solomon says it's foolishness to chase after these things, foolishness to chase after the wind. And it doesn't mean having nice stuff is a sin. I did mention this last week. Having wealth is not a sin. But equally, I've heard folks say, I used to be poor, but I've broken that now. There's a lot of people that speak about, oh, that's right for you, but I'm poor. Well, actually, Paul says when he's poor, that strength or that attitude of mind can bring contentment. Being poor is not necessarily a sin either. But we start comparing ourselves with others, and then that is a sin. So whether we are rich or whether we are poor, I have learned to be content. Don't think you broke poverty and now you've been set free. It's nonsense. It's not what Paul is saying here. So what has Paul learnt? Well, if you dive into verse 19, it says this, "And my God will meet your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." If we think we're rich in this world and we've broken poverty, hang on a minute. What about the riches that God has it for us in Christ Jesus? And really, it boils down to a couple of things. I'm not necessarily into buzzwords, but it boils down to our need, and I think we've seen this week, toilet rolls, our need versus our greed. It is strange if we look at the news and the panic buying that people have panic bought. Why have people made the headlines with some of the panic buying? Was it for petrol? Actually, I hope you've all got your cars filled up. That'll be the next thing that runs out, petrol. Yeah, no. You see how quickly you could set it off. Who's going to go and fill their car up on the way home now? Oh, I never thought about petrol. Better get petrol. Petrol and toilet roll. Maybe there's some toilet roll in the petrol station. Why do people panic buy these things? And hand sanitizer. Soap and water, guys, that's what sorts the virus out. Someone's made a small fortune on hand sanitizer. Okay, there might be some alcohol in there, but actually it's our need. Oh, I've actually got a nice picture, look. Our need versus our greed. My toilet roll. I did see a picture this morning that there's got this dog and it's torn up this toilet roll. And it said, you know, the dog has ripped up our family fortune. You know what I mean? This dog's trashed this thing. But there is... Flick that round the other way. It's greed over need. And I think this is where God is interested in us. God is interested in the other way. He flips the things of this world, in a sense, upside down. He's interested in our need over our greed. And I'm not going to say, I don't want to focus too much on this virus thing and the bodily effects it has, but you don't need toilet paper with this, by all accounts. You aren't going to be spending a lot of time in the loo. But sadly, folk would go, well, okay, even if that's true, just in case, I better get some. Just in case they got it wrong. I know probably better than anybody else. And it's the same with the soaps I just mentioned a minute ago. Some nameless websites. Have you seen how expensive they've been selling this stuff for? Like £100 for a pot of hand sanitizer. Actually, we need to speak to our young people that came midweek. We bought some for them and somebody stole it. Somebody stole a hand sanitizer from church. Can you believe it? This is antibacterial stuff, isn't it? It's not antivirus stuff. Anyway, I don't want to... Yeah, but greed versus need. And actually, we need to be different. We are a strange people, even though for some of us there are guidelines and there's going to be more things coming out this week. Sadly, this morning, there are Baptist churches in our city which, in a sense, have got hold of this fear and they've run with it. Now, I could be stand corrected on this, but I just think this morning, you know, have we not got a sovereign God that we can come before this morning? We need to be sensible. We don't need to be flippant. But shut down our Sunday gatherings. I'm sure there's somebody that'd love to see all the churches shut down in the world at the moment. So come on. We don't need to be a people of fear. We need to be a people of sound mind. And wash your hands. I just shared it this morning because it did make me laugh. It says, love like Jesus, but wash your hands like Pontius Pilate. You can unpick that theologically if you like, but it made me smile this morning. We have an enemy that's going to go at any lengths to shut the church down and upset the kingdom of God, to shut people down. And we need to remember where we stand. And hopefully this is where you are this morning. You understand, maybe that video is really helpful. You're in a different kingdom. And it's totally different from this world. You need to say some stuff. The victory is ours. My light cannot be put out because I'm not in that kingdom. I'm not in that realm. Satan has been defeated. And we need to learn to be content with that. And I think that's what Paul has learned. And the question is, have you and I learnt that? Because we've been conditioned so far the other way. And I love pictures. I just go, no. If all that stuff, all that water being poured into the glass, and from my perspective, it looks like it's going to put my light out. Actually, you know, different perspective shift. And you see, I'm not in this world. I'm passing through. So I just want us to, in conclusion this morning, just the takeaway that I want you to take home. We've got a bit of time. We're going to break bread together in a minute. But I just want you to just claim some of this or just have some time with God and ask him. There's three things I want you to just pray. So individually, not out loud, but just quietly pray this stuff through this morning. I want you to pray for a release of God's power in your life. And what I mean by that is where you feel powerless, where you feel unable, maybe where you feel anxious or worried or where fear seems to have control in your life, I just want you to pray personally for God's power. Say, God, come and send that power. You promise I can have it. Protect my heart. change me from the things that I feel and protect my mind and change me from the things I think. Change my thinking and protect my heart. Make me think and feel differently about the things that might be troubling us. You up for that? Does that make sense? So pray for that power where I'm powerless. God, come and send me that power and claim that this morning. Maybe as you continue to pray, there's that sense that every chain of the past, the song said, will be broken in two. Maybe you just need to pray some of that. Maybe there's somebody here that says, God, I see that as a chain. God, break that in two. Come and send your power, Lord. And as you continue in that, just stay in that attitude of prayer for a moment. But as that sense of power comes in, God promises to give us his peace. So if you feel God is dealing with something and you're saying, God, come and send your power in that moment, but you're worried that there's going to be something left like a hole and you feel empty, God says, I will fill those anxious places, those anxious thoughts with my peace. So just for a moment again, pray, powers come. Lord, fill those places now with your peace. That's more than I can understand or comprehend. Lord, come and give me your peace. And as that peace starts to come in and you start to feel that peace, I pray that you're starting to feel a distance maybe from those anxious things. And this is a time, I think, where you can sidestep just in your mind, but you can say, well, I'm going to now move from where I was and I'm going to look at things differently and I will have a new perspective. So just pray, God, give me that new perspective. Help me now move away from those things and give me a fresh perspective. You need a picture that glass being moved and you saw the candle and you went, oh yeah, that's you, that is. I say, Lord, help me now move from those anxious places where the peace has now come. And Lord, let me see that for what it is, that I may be different and changed and transformed this morning. And not to make it an eye test, but can you read that, what's in yellow at the bottom of the screen? Read that and tell yourself that's true. Say it to yourself again. Do you believe it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe it? If you believe it, say, I believe. Say again, I believe. And again, I believe. I believe, I believe, I believe. I believe that's true. I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if Christ is in you and me, then anything's possible. And that's not just that I can land it on the title of the series. The title of the series comes from that truth. Anything's possible when Christ is in us. And you declare that, I believe. That's why I thought the I believe was really interesting in that song at the beginning. I hadn't picked it out. I believe. There's power in this. I believe this to be true. I believe this to be true.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.